Al-Awlaki. He was born in New Mexico, and he was in Yemen for about 11 years, where he studied the Islamic education. Imam Anwar, he is from Washington, D.C. He is the Imam over there. And he is an engineer by profession and an Imam by his duties to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imam Anwar Awlaki. Please.
الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. In the beginning, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us ikhlas in al-qawli wal-amal. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us sincerity in everything that we do. It's time for us to maybe take this opportunity and to check our intentions, because innama al-a'malu bin-niyyat. Deeds are according to the intentions. So we want to make sure that we have the right intention in coming here to benefit, and we're doing it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this was the tradition of the early Muslims, to always look inside and make sure that they're doing the things for the right purpose. Hisham ibn Abdul Malik says about his relative Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, لا أظنه يخطو خطوة إلا وله فيها نية. I don't think that he would take any step except after he thought about why he's doing it and what's his intention in doing so. فنسأل الله عز وجل الإخلاص في القول والعمل. Oh Allah, we ask you to give us sincerity in everything that we say and everything that we do. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يا أيها الذين آمنوا كونوا قوامين لله شهداء بالقسط ولا يجرمنكم شنآن قوم على ألا تعدلوا اعدلوا هو أقرب للتقوى واتقوا الله إن الله خبير بما تعملون. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Oh you who believe, stand out firmly for Allah as witnesses to fair dealings. And let not the hatred of others to make you swerve to wrong and depart from justice. Be just, that is next to piety. So Islam teaches us that we need to be fair in everything with everyone, foe or friend. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying in this ayah, even if you have a problem with some people, you have hatred with them. The people of Quraysh, they have oppressed you for so long, deprived you of your freedoms, you still need to be just with them. And that is tolerance. And as the speaker before me mentioned, Dr. Siddiqui, that there are two types of tolerance, or there's two categories of tolerance. One is tolerance between Muslims and other religious groups. And then you also have tolerance among Muslims. Now with the first type of tolerance, it is my opinion, I could be wrong in this, that this is a criteria that holds to people who are in position of authority. And that's why I don't think really that it's a priority to us to talk about it now, because as Muslims we are not in such position of authority. I mean, when you look at Muslims, driven out of their homes and their land invaded, and then you tell them to be tolerant, doesn't really make a lot of sense. But if we want to look at how tolerant the Muslims were in their dealings with other religious groups, we have to go back and look at history when the Muslims were in position of authority, and let's see how they performed, how they acted. And this is not an exaggeration, but this is an objective opinion based on the facts that the Muslims were not only tolerant, but they had the best track record of tolerance in the world. If you look at how the Muslims dealt with other groups when they were in position of, when the Muslims were in position of authority, you would find out by fair studying that it is a fact of history that the Muslims were the most tolerant people in the history of the world. Look at how they dealt with the minorities in Spain, Jews and Christians, the Catholics. Look at how the Muslims dealt with the Orthodox in the Balkans, with Hindus in India, with Jews all over the Muslim world. They were settling in every urban Muslim center. So I think we need to emphasize more on the area where we have a serious lack, and that is tolerance between ourselves. See, because when we're talking about tolerance towards others, I think history can clearly show the proof. There was a book that just came out, it's called Warriors of God by James Reston. It just came out this year in May 2001. It's about Salah ad-Din and Richard Lionheart. He talked about the Crusades conflict. And it's a story about these two men, Salah ad-Din al-Ayyubi and Richard Lionheart. James Rustin, he says in the book that Salah ad-Din was at fault and he committed a very serious big mistake. And that is that he was too nice with his enemy. He was too tolerant, and that ended up causing his demise. Because whenever he would surround a crusader fortress, he would let them go, and then they would all gather in Tyre, and that became a stronghold which then overtook all of the coastal cities in Palestine. So it's not a matter of were we tolerant or not. In some cases, we had too much of it. Again, I think that we need to emphasize more on the issue of tolerance among ourselves, because that is an area that we have to be honest with ourselves and have some critical look at our conduct. That is where we need a lot of improvement. Now, what is the reason for this intolerance that we could have among ourselves? The reason is that we are different. We are different. Now, there are two proposed solutions. One is to eliminate the differences that we have among ourselves. Now, number one, this is impossible. Number two, whenever this is attempted, it could lead to more problems. Why? Because you attempt to unify the people on what you believe is the right way, and you try to coerce everybody to follow it, and that could, as I said, lead to more complications rather than solving the problem. Differences are there to remain. And this is a fact that we have to face. So we should not try to eliminate differences, but we should try to deal with differences. Differences existed among the Sahaba, radiallahu anhum. By the way, also differences existed among the angels. We know in the hadith when the man killed 99 persons and then he killed 100 and he wanted to commit tawbah and he went and he died. What happened? The angels came and they had a dispute. Where does he belong? Does he belong to hellfire? Does he belong to paradise? So even the angels had differences in opinion. Now the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they had a rainbow of opinions. The two advisors of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which were Abu Bakr and Umar, almost on every issue they had differences of opinion of night and day. Almost every issue, Abu Bakr and Umar had a different view. Because as human beings, we develop our perceptions on life based on our knowledge and experience. It's a combination of both, our knowledge and our experience. That is how we view the world. Everybody has a certain outlook to events, and everybody has a unique experience. That's why we will have a unique way in viewing events. So Abu Bakr, his upbringing, his way of perceiving things was very compassionate. He was very lenient. While Umar bin Khattab was very strict. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would tell Abu Bakr, you are similar to Isa alayhi salam and Ibrahim. And then he would tell Umar bin Khattab, you are similar to Musa and Nuh. Even the Anbiya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had different opinions, different ways in viewing events. And we will have that too. There will be differences in opinion, and we shouldn't be very upset about it and try to bring all the people on one opinion. Look at the variety of fiqh that we have. That is wealth for the ummah. The various opinions of our imams. Imagine if there was one opinion in everything, how difficult our life would be. Did you ever think about that? Because of these differences in opinion, it's giving the Muslims a religion that is flexible for every time and age. And that is the strength of Islam, and we need to turn these differences into an advantage. So the solution to the problem of Intolerance is to learn how to deal with differences, and that is called fiqh al-khilaf. We have to learn this fiqh of how to deal with differences in opinion. Now, one important solution is to have fiqh al-awlawiyat. Now I'm going to talk about causes and solutions. One cause of intolerance is not understanding the fiqh of priorities. This is a very, very important fiqh. A delegation of Hujjaj, they came from Al-Kufa, and they came to ask Abdullah ibn Umar a fatwa. They came for Hajj. And you know, in state of Ihram, you're not supposed to kill anything, insects. So these people, they came to Abdullah ibn Umar and they said, is it okay for us to kill mosquitoes? Abdullah ibn Umar said, where are you from? They said, we are from Al-Iraq. He said, subhanallah, you kill the grandson of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Al-Husayn bin Ali, and now you're asking me about killing mosquitoes. So here there is a serious problem in priorities. This might be an extreme example, but believe me, in our lives there are many other live examples like it, where we don't have our priorities straight. We shouldn't get into pitiful discussions and arguments about minor issues when the ummah is facing some serious problems. There are millions of Muslims who lack the basic understanding of the foundations of Islam. One scholar was telling me that a few kilometers out of Mecca, the heartland of Islam, there are some people who don't even know Al-Fatiha. And we are wasting our time discussing details when we have such serious problems. On the peripheral of the Muslim world, there is so much, for example, missionary work that's taking millions out of the folds of Islam. When you have a nation, Iraq is being choked to death, and we are seeing them bleeding to death, what are we doing for them? We should raise up the understanding of the ummah to a higher level where they're dealing with the issues that are facing us, the issues of the ummah. The Palestinian issue should be something that we are concerned about day and night. We should participate and support this uprising and let them know that the American Muslims are with you. When we have right here in America, Jamil Amin, for example, the problem of Jamil Amin, how much attention are we giving it? These are priorities for us that we need to deal with. These are the issues that we should face. This is fiqh al-awlawiyat. We need to get our priorities straight, and that is something very important. Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu, some people came from Yemen to ask him a question. Umar bin Khattab said, did this happen? The answer was no. Umar bin Khattab said, go back to Yemen. When it happens, then come and ask me, and I'm going to bring you the counsel of the people of Badr to give you an answer. Look at the practicality of the Sahaba. We don't want to deal with hypothetical issues. We are busy. We have a lot of stuff to do. Don't bring me these theories to discuss. If it happened, I'm not going to give you an answer. I'm going to bring the people of Badr and a council, and we'll discuss it seriously and give you an answer. But if it didn't happen, don't waste my time. Many of our discussions are in evidence that we don't have anything better to do. So that's fiqh al-awlawiyat. I have a few other points, but I doubt that I will have time to go through them, so I'll have to skip them. I'll just mention them without giving examples. One of them is a lack of knowledge. That's also a problem. Jealousy, at-ta'asub, that's another problem. I'll jump to the last one because I think that is very important, and I'll close with this due to the lack of time. The key is right here. The key to the solution is right here in our hearts. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam once told the Sahaba, now a man will show up and he's from the people of paradise before he came. It's revelation from Allah telling Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that a man from Jannah will come. So one of the Ansar, he came in. This person was obscure. His name wasn't even mentioned in the hadith. This is the hadith in Muslim of Imam Ahmad. The next day, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, a man will show up and he belongs to paradise. The same man came in. The third night, day, Rasulullah ﷺ said, a man from paradise will show up. And the same man appeared. Three times Rasulullah ﷺ is saying, this man is from paradise. He's going to be in paradise. Min ahl al-jannah. Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As, he wanted to know what's special about him. So he went up to this man and he said, I had a problem with my father, and I made an oath that I'm not going to enter his house for 3 days. Would you allow me to stay with you? He said, yes, you're welcome. So Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As, he wanted to see his private life. What's special about him? So he went, and Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As was expecting that this man is going to pray all night. The man went to sleep. And then just before Fajr, he prayed a few rak'ah. Abdullah ibn Amr said he's going to fast. And the man had breakfast. Abdullah ibn Amr was wondering, what's special about this man? He said, maybe the next day. Maybe he's going through some problems today or something. Maybe tomorrow it will be better. The next day he went to sleep again. And he didn't fast. The third night, the same thing happened. He went to sleep. Now Abdullah ibn Amr was very amazed, because Abdullah ibn Amr was a person who used to complete Quran in 3 nights. He would pray all night. So he's wondering what's special about this person. And then he went and he told him, listen, I didn't have any problems with my father. I just wanted to see what is special about you, because Rasulullah ﷺ said, you are in Jannah. So can you tell me what's special, because I didn't really see anything unique. He told him, لَيْسَ إِلَّا مَا تَرَى. This is my life. There's nothing different. Abdullah ibn Amr left. But then the man called him back and said, come here. There's nothing different than what you have seen, except that whenever I go to bed, I do not have any hatred or jealousy toward any Muslim. Abdullah ibn Amr said, this is why. That is the reason. It is because of something in our hearts. Many of the times we magnify problems of others, just like it is mentioned that Isa ibn Maryam said, you are able to see a hair in the eye of your brother, but you fail to see a log in your eye. The problems of others are magnified. And we think that we are doing nasiha and amr bil ma'ruf and nahi al munkar when we have greater problems. The issue is that we are not concerned with ourselves. We might be concerned more about the problems of others. We forget that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَكُلُّكُمْ آتِيهِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ فَرْدًا. All of you will face Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment alone. So it is something inside the heart. Some people, they're troublemakers. You can't do anything about it. They're troublemakers, like Al-Hati'ah. Al-Hati'ah is one famous poet. This was a very evil person. He tries to make trouble with anybody. One day he decided that he wants to go and curse someone. So he went out of his house to do some evil acts. He didn't find anybody to pick up a fight with. So he said, أَبَتْ نَفْسِي أَبَتْ شَفَتَايَ الْيَوْمَ إِلَّا تَكَلُّمًا بِشَرٍ فَلَمْ تَجِدْ أَحَدًا أَرَى بِي وَجْهًا قَبَّحَ اللَّهُ خَلْقَهُ فَقُبِّحَ مِنْ وَجْهٍ وَقُبِّحَ حَامِلُهُ. This man, he went out to cause trouble with people. He didn't find anybody to make trouble with. So he went and he looked in the mirror. And when he saw his face, he said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you such an ugly face. May Allah make it even uglier. We say in Yemen, some people, if they don't have anybody to make problems with, they pick up a fight with their feet. These are troublemakers. You can't do anything about them. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, إِنَّ لِلْإِنَّ مِنَ النَّاسِ مفاتيح للخير مغاليق للشر وإن من الناس مفاتيح للشر مغاليق للخير. There are some people who are keys for good and locks for evil, and there are some people who are locks for good and keys for evil. Some people, they just leave a trail of problems wherever they go, and some people, they leave a trail of good wherever they go. That is how we should be. We should carry these keys of good with us all the time. Keep them in your pocket. Have righteousness and have this effect of righteousness wherever you go, because it all comes out from here. If the heart is clean, then we'll be much more tolerable with ourselves. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us, again, tolerance, which we greatly need. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to cleanse our hearts and to make us of those whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said above them, إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ, except for those who are going to face Allah with clean hearts. يَا مُقَلِّبَ الْقُلُوبِ وَالْأَبْصَارِ ثَبِّتْ قُلُوبًا عَلَى دِينَكْ رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.
تكبير الله.